They would say, I'd like to reserve a taxi, and they are asked, is this medical or food shopping?
Okay.
And that's it. And when someone raises on their own, I actually, if I have an opportunity to speak with them, I do share that you do not need to disclose what type of appointment.
Okay, good. That's
private.
Important.
But if it's at a medical address, there's never a question. If someone's going to what seems to be a house address or an address that maybe the call taker would question, such as a gym, then they would say, I'm going to arrange a call back from the mobility manager. There might be something to discuss here. And then I will share with the person, this is a medical appointment. It just happens to be in a house or something that doesn't seem to be.
Okay, because people do have, it's a single house, and they have an office on the side.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. So then I say, just book it as a medical appointment. You do not need to disclose what type of appointment it is.
Would it typically be somebody who has given up their car?
That's a great question. So, often I speak with people who are transitioning from driving, because after all, there's people who have been riding with the program. They know what to do, and they don't need to talk to me unless they have a question or an issue comes up or something changes in their life with their mobility. But very often I'm speaking with people who are new to the program, and I'm giving an orientation. And I can tell very quickly in the conversation if this is – they're trying it for the first time because they're getting their eyes dilated or they're having a follow-up visit after surgery. And they hope – they tell me very soon into the conversation, I hope to be driving again soon. Somebody told me this week they fractured their wrist and they're going for physical therapy, but hopefully within 2 months they'll be driving again. I say, okay, that's great. And I continue and I tell them everything there is to understand about the program. It only takes 5 minutes or less unless we end up in additional conversation. But most of the time, I don't know, when I first speak with somebody who's new to the program, it's about 50-50. Somebody still might have a car in the driveway for one reason or another.
They don't want to drive.
Right. Or they hear pressure from family members that, Mom, it's time, And then the person might tell me, I'm in my 90s and the kids have been saying it's time to give up the car. They're concerned about me. They're concerned about other people on the road. And, of course, the senior is concerned about getting things done. Things they enjoy to do socially or errands, doing 3 errands in a row in a day.
Right.
They enjoy getting out. And I think with winter, it's a time that people really reflect. Not only does it get darker sooner, and many seniors, one of the first things they do to stay safer is to give up driving at night or when they think they're going to be returning after dusk. So somebody who's maybe comfortable driving to the corner diner and back in daylight maybe isn't so comfortable going to the doctor at 3:30 because when they return, it could be dark. So
about 3 days ago, actually, I had a lengthy conversation with one of my son-in-laws. His father is 96, I believe, and he does not live in the town of North Hempstead. He lives on Long Island in the other town. And
the other town.
Which does not have a program like that.
Right.
And it was an interesting conversation because I couldn't tell him the 311 routine, which we talked about. And what happened to him was that his father happens to be very, very sharp and still pretty good with his mind and everything else. But his car broke. Mm. So now the question was, he was going to go out and buy a new car at 96 years old. And his children, which are 55, 60-year-old children, were saying they didn't think it was a good idea, Pop, And so we talked, he and I, about what could he do for his father without something like Project Independence. So the point I'm pushing two things here. One is this program is great, that it enables people to do things like that. And then the second one is, What if you have other things you want to do besides going to doctors or shopping or whatever? Maybe I want it, like in his case, he likes to go to the library. He used to go every day to the library. All right, that was a social outlet for him.
Okay.
So the question was, okay, we started talking about it. What are your options? And we talked about Uber. Maybe he could set him up, and we had these people on the show who do Uber with just making a phone call. And then the other one I suggested to him, I'm asking for your opinion, basically. The other one was use a local taxi company mm-hmm. and set up an account mm-hmm. with that taxi company mm-hmm. for his father so that he could just call and say, take me to the library. You know, do you run into that kind of thing?
Often. First, I want to share that even though somebody is in their 90s, it's really about skill and ability. And if somebody keeps up with their health and their skills and their agility, then they very well can continue driving. I'm not sure, I can't speak for anybody in particular, but sometimes it's something basic. If somebody is younger but won't turn their neck to look at the car in the next lane, they're an unsafe driver. So, but if somebody is keeping up with their skills and they're checking if they wear a hearing aid, that make sure you're wearing it when you drive so you can detect sounds from all ways. Your eyesight, keep up with your eyesight. Wear glasses that prevent glare. Things like that. And if somebody is keeping up, they're probably also cognitively clear. And, you know, you never know if somebody's going to have a medical emergency when they're driving. That could happen at any age. But really what I'm trying to get at is driving is about skill and ability. And that's what and the only person who can take your ability to drive away is truly a judge. A police could take you home and say, I recommend you don't drive. But really, the only one who can do that, and family persuasion and a decision amongst the family to take away keys is also very persuasive. But I do get questions about how do I get to do other things? You only offer medical and you only offer this food shopping. And part of the reason we do that is because we're given a certain amount of funding and we want to make sure that the priorities are being addressed. Somebody wouldn't hesitate to go to the doctor for important medical appointments. Right. We do transport many people who are going for dialysis and for radiation and for other very important appointments at all hours of the day, including 5 a.m. So food shopping is really, we call food shopping where you can get other things done, but we want to make sure somebody doesn't go without having food and nutritional needs met. So I do have these conversations. And yes, I do suggest local taxi and ask for a senior discount. There are some companies within our town. I know your friend was outside the town. But there are some companies that give a free service to the community for seniors 1 or 2 days a week. So people should look into that. In our town, we are contracted with 3 fabulous companies. Deluxe out of Port Washington, All Island Transportation, which are their bases in the Mineola Franklin Square area, and Taxi Hispano in Newcastle, otherwise known as TH Express. But there's another company, for example, locally, called Checker Cab, and everybody's kind of heard of Checker Cab, and they offer 2 days a week, one for New Hyde Park area and one for the Mineola area, where they will pick up a senior and return them for free between the hours of 10 and 2. And it's also discounted if you go beyond that town line. So you can call Checker Cab directly to find out more about that. But that's what I do. I discuss one-on-one.
Because obviously I'm going on the assumption between 10 and 2 is slow.
Exactly.
So the fellow who's driving the senior probably gets a tip. I'm not saying they have to.
Yes.
But, you know, if I'm going for free, I would throw the person $5. So this, you know, he's not concerning himself with the fee because he's not getting the fee, but he's getting the $5.
Correct. Even our program was designed to operate during the taxi slower, what we call the downtime, because they want to fill with, getting tips and opportunity to drive.
Right, right.
And certainly a good customer in the middle of the day might engage you in another part of the day. But I also work with individuals about what other resources might be out there. If somebody is in their 90s, they're very likely going to be approved for a countywide program called Able Ride. And while there are people who might complain about the service, it's an alternative if somebody is not able to drive. Even if someone is able to drive, they might get approved, actually, because it's based on a medical certification process. It doesn't matter if you have a car in the driveway. So if I speak with somebody who has needs to go further around the county, but they might have a physical limitation, if I hear that they might have some issues that may enable them to be qualified, I give them the application and I give them some tips to fill it out, how it's done, how to get it right the first time, and you can be approved within a month.
You know, if you think about it, when if you do give up your car and you do go with a taxi and you do have to tip the taxi driver or whatever, financially you're way ahead of the game.
Oh, God, absolutely.
You know, because yes. you don't pay for gas, you pay for no car insurance. You know, you're not paying for a car. Registration
or you're not, you're exactly. not taking care of the car, no. which is a big thing.
That is important, and I do share with people who are considering that, you know, our taxi program is discounted, but it's not free. Able Ride is $3.75 each way, flat fare anyway, the county, but it's not free. And sometimes people wake up and they want to go somewhere that day, and neither those two programs don't allow for that. So what I talk to people about is think of creating a fund, a budget for yourself based on what you used to spend on your car.
Exactly.
So just say your car payment was $350 a month, and your, if there was a payment,
right.
and your insurance was, I don't know, $150 a month, and they say the average amount of repairs on a car might be $600 to $1,000 a year. So come up with a monthly budget, and kind of think of that as your fund for travel service, okay? Because there's taxi service and other things that are available. But when you think of it that way, then you're staying within budget. You're just having someone else provide the service rather than cook, kind of like how you think. You save money when you prepare your own food versus there's a budget for shopping, but there's always a budget to eat out. This is a service being provided for you, kind of like going out to eat. Just having someone else providing that service.
I know
for
younger
you.
People now that really don't want a car.
Right.
They use Uber all the time.
Right. But that, you know what, the way you, we're going to have to take a break in a second. The way you put that is so perfect. Because if you own the car, it's going to cost you $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 a year.
That's right.
Use that
yeah.
as your travel budget
yes.
on top of what North Hempstead provides, mm-hmm. and you're 100% fine.
Right.
But we do have to take a break now. We'll be right back with Shari Bertone. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org.